This is the Blaze Radio On Demand.
The founder of this company 10 years ago was trying to sell his house. He's, you know, he's kind of an important guy. And he said to his wife, if this is what it's like for us, how do people who have no clout ever get around this? So he started a company and it went into business, I think, 3 years ago. Their deal is their word is their bond. And they are people that listen to the show. They are just like you. Now, how can I say that? Because I'm the founder of the company. RealEstateAgentsITrust.com.
The Buck Sexton Show.
Joined now by Stephen Yates. He is the chairman of the Idaho Republican Party. He is at the convention. He's going to lay it all down straight for us. Steve, always great to have you. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Buck. Great to be with you.
All right, Steve. So what's the mood like? What's the vibe after yesterday?
Well, obviously a few things happened last night that got everyone's attention.
A couple, yeah.
I would say that, yeah. Well, I'd say the biggest disappointment I have is that it was the reaction to the end of Ted Cruz's speech that has dominated a lot of what people have been thinking and talking about. And to an extent that really looks past what I thought was an amazingly effective speech by Mike Pence. It was his reintroduction to the country and the world. He really had a lot of things in there that were, I thought, really strong stylistically and substantively. And his self-introduction of being a Christian first, a conservative second, and a Republican third in that order, that's something that really resonates with a lot of people in the arena, I suspect, with a lot of people around the country.
But what's the I agree with you, by the way, that Pence was very effective and also, unfortunately, was overshadowed by what happened with the Cruz speech. But, you know, you're around, their delegates are there. And what are people talking about? How much support is there, at least at the RNC, from what you're gathering, for Cruz's non-endorsement? It was a non-endorsement. I think that's an accurate description of it. There was no endorsement given. He did speak a lot
that's
about
right.
conservative principles and freedom and all sorts of great things, but there was no endorsement. What's the response like?
Well, I can just say from the people who are in my delegation, which were 20 delegates for Cruz and 12 for Trump, we had the Colorado delegation behind us that was very strongly for Cruz and Texas delegation to our side. There were a lot of Texas delegation members that were extremely angry about it. And they were expressing their views pretty bluntly. And they basically felt like you make a pledge, you stick to your pledge, you come to someone's nominating convention and you're not ready to nominate. Maybe you shouldn't have come to the convention and taken your time to speak. Now, of course, all this stuff is legal and allowed and all of that. But there were a lot of people that were really put off by the idea of coming and taking a lot of prime time. And then in the end, not getting to those magic words, because really almost everyone at convention believes it's vital to defeat Hillary. And Senator Cruz made a great case against Hillary, all those principles that are at stake. They just seem to miss that last step. And that's why we cannot possibly allow the Clintons back in the White House for another four, much less 8 years.
I mean, you're a guy, Steve, who works in politics. You're chairman of the Idaho State GOP. What's the purpose of the convention if not to gather around a nominee to defeat Hillary? I don't really. There's a whole tonight. What's the crowning moment, so to speak? Perhaps crowning moment is not the best choice of words here, but you know the high point of this is all supposed to be when the nominee addresses the American people. It's not when people sit around and talk about down ballot races. Would you agree with the contention that this is about unifying behind a nominee? If that's not what it's about, I would love an explanation from you, from someone whose judgment and character I really trust, on what is this really about then?
No, I think you're exactly right. And I think that's one of the more frustrating and disappointing things about what Senator Cruz chose to do. I've liked him personally. I've had people close to me who have worked for his campaign and invested in him as a leader. But really, if our system is going to function, you have to honor the will of the voters, even when the voters may not have the wisdom to go the way you think they should. And if you have hope of a nomination in the future, there may be people out there then that feel the way you do now, and you need them to rally and support you against what I consider to be the greater problem, the greater challenge to the fundamental principles. And so it's maybe a major process foul, and a lot of Americans say, well, big whoop, it's a process foul. But it's a big deal. It's a big deal because I think a lot of us, we went through a competitive primary process. It's tiring. We're ready to really take it after Hillary and the Democrats and just get this done. I do think tonight probably is going to have good star quality and production value. The messages this week have really been strong and inspiring in a lot of ways. And it was, I think, a real unfortunate downer for a lot of us as delegates to have that play out the way it did. I mean, why do you want to have a cascading shower of boos for a guy that a lot of people in our country liked up until that point? And, you know, for his sake and for those who really are dedicated supporting him, I hope that they pick up and move on and can help. And I hope the people who are offended by it can pick up and move on and help, because really what it's all about is getting our principles out there with the best chance to move forward. And it's a binary choice. It's going to be Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, and it's not hard for me to choose at this point.
What do you say to those? I see so much fighting against this, including from a lot of conservative writers and activists and people that, you know, this is what they do. This is what they care about. This is sort of the air they breathe, the water in which they swim. Who say, well, they don't like the binary. They don't like this whole, oh, it's a binary choice. I kind of just want to always say, but it is a binary choice. So, it's sort of like saying, well, everyone can stay home and not vote, and, you know, who's a conservative, and then Hillary Clinton will win. I mean, that's totally each individual's choice to do that. But it does mean that Hillary Clinton will win. This is reality. I don't know why there's this effort to sort of pretend that it's not reality. There's no other reality that I'm aware of. Is there a third option? I mean, what, no. Gary Johnson? I mean, come on.
No, there's no, you can twist it in terms of how to talk about it and think about it. But in the famous philosophical text known as Highlander, the movie, in the end, there can only be one. There is only one person who emerges from this. And so you don't really get a chance of saying, here's someone who's going to come in a distant third, but I really liked him and I didn't want to cast a ballot for these others. People, look, they have a choice not to vote for the office of president. That's their right. I hope people exercise their rights, but what they don't get to choose is what the effect of that choice is on the outcome. And this is politics in the end is a game of numbers. One team's going to put up a certain number of points in the form of electoral college votes, and the other is going to have a competing number. There is no scenario in which the libertarian candidate is going to rally maybe even a single electoral vote. And so everything that goes to, it's going to go either red or blue on that map. And I don't know how anyone in good conscience can say, well, we just need to cleanse the palate for 4 or 8 years with Hillary Clinton until we can get a better Republican nominee in their point of view. And ultimately, it's an extreme disrespect to millions and millions of voters. I may not have agreed with primary voters on where they were trending earlier in this process, but it is the process. If you're going to be in it, you got to honor the outcome and move forward and try to make it as best as it possibly can be, in my point of view. But I come at it from a party chairman point of view.
Yeah, but you see what the effects of elections are, and there are consequences to elections. I mean, as much as it's nice to talk about principles and constitutionalism and to be consistent and not to fall into a sort of hypocrisy over what we support and what we believe, that's all well and good. There is a binary choice ahead of us. It's not one that I particularly relish. I'm not really enjoying this season, this general election season, as much as I might have otherwise. I openly and on the record back Cruz to the greatest extent that I possibly could. And I don't understand the vitriol that, quite honestly, you're seeing from a lot of people against those who don't. I don't understand what the purpose of last night to reaffirm principles. I mean, Ted Cruz has a big platform. He can reaffirm principles whenever he wants, which brings me to this notion of the pledge. Okay, Trump said gross things about Cruz's, or he retweeted something about Cruz's wife, and he said something preposterous about Cruz's dad. I get all of that. But look, if I were in a primary campaign against somebody like a Donald Trump, I think I just would have said I'm not necessarily going to back the final nominee. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I mean, I think a contract is a contract.
Well, and that's kind of the way a large, large number of delegates felt. I mean, that reaction in the arena, we had some spicy points on Monday when there were process votes, and it gave you a good feel for what the breakdown was in terms of Cruz versus Trump and RNC, other kinds of delegates were in the room. It was loud. You could kind of sense where the energy was, what their numbers were. That cascade of boos was not limited to just Trump supporters. That cascade of boos was thunderous, and it had to have included some of the delegates that were fundamentally disappointed with what Cruz said. Those very words were part of the mantra of the Unbind movement that was specifically designed to try to move the nomination to a different candidate, one who had received many, many, many fewer votes, if any votes, in the primary process. And so, it's one of those decisions. He's a grown-up. He made a choice. He made a choice when he made the pledge. He made a choice when he accepted the invitation to speak in prime time. And he made a choice to echo that sentiment right at the end of what otherwise was an eloquent, principled speech. And if he had just put the words at the end, he didn't have to say, "I love Donald Trump." All he had to say was, "For all of these reasons, it's vital that all of America goes to the ballot in November and votes for the Republican nominee." That would have been a half measure, but it would have been in the right direction, would have been totally defensible, and he'd still be really strong, probably would have had a standing ovation instead of a shower of boos.
Yeah, well, that's where I am on this, too. No one's saying that he had to be a servile puppy, in Cruz's words. He didn't have to say Donald Trump is a great constitutionalist. I love him. He's awesome. He's dignified. He's wonderful. He could have just said, "Vote to beat Hillary." The end. Thanks, everybody. Standing ovation. You know, I mean, the message would have been clear. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that he has to self-flagellate on stage in front of all of us. I think that it's enough for him to just say, you know, "Look, we got to beat Hillary, guys. This stinks, but we're going to do it." But instead, he got up there at that at an event, the whole purpose of which is to unify the Republican Party behind a nominee and say, "Vote your conscience," which was just, I mean, come on. People will tell me that's not a swipe at the nominee. I mean, let's all be grown-ups here. That means, yeah, maybe vote for Trump, maybe don't.
That's right. And it basically is a judgment, in some people's assessment, against those of us who are delegates who believe that our conscience says we can't allow the country to fall into Hillary's hands. It's a judgment against us who believe our conscience says we had millions and millions and millions of more voters in our nominating process this year than we've had in past cycles. And at this late stage, to turn our backs on that outcome is questionable morally and process-wise to a lot of people. I know that there are those who disagree with those sentiments, but by stating it in that way, it comes across as kind of passing judgment that I'm holier than the rest of you. And I think that's not helpful to Senator Cruz. I had hoped for more from him. I hope for more from him in the future. But I really think that last night might have been really damaging to him.
Look, I agree with, and I told everybody, Steve, you and I hadn't even exchanged so much as a text message before you came on today. I didn't know where you were going to come. Yeah, see, you can listen to see. I didn't know where he was going to come down on this issue. I'm getting a lot of heat from people, even though I was a Cruz supporter. I'm getting a lot of heat from the Cruz supporters on this. And I'm like, guys, now you've got somebody who's a chairman of a state GOP telling from a state that went predominantly for Cruz, actually, telling you that a lot of people have been a part of this process were very unhappy with what happened last night, including people who had supported Cruz to the best of their ability all along. So that's kind of where we are. Steve, look, I know you're super busy and you're at the convention. Really appreciate you giving us a ring. Stephen Yates, Idaho GOP chairman and also former deputy national security advisor to Dick Cheney and also D.C. International Advisors chairman and founder. Stephen, great to have you.
Thank you, Buck. Take care.
Take care. All right, team. We'll take some calls. Back in a few.
Buck Sexton.
The Blaze Radio Network.
What's up, Team Buck? Have you ever tried a Casper mattress? They are incredible.
Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at an incredibly fair price. It combines springy latex and supportive memory foams to create an award-winning sleep surface with just the right sink and the perfect amount of bounce. Time magazine named it as one of the best inventions of 2015. In fact, it's now the most awarded mattress of the decade. You get free shipping and returns to the U.S. and Canada, and you can try it free for 100 nights, risk-free, in your own home. And if you don't love it, they'll pick it up and refund you everything. It's made right here in America. All you have to do is go to Casper.com/buck. That's www.casper.com/buck. You can get $50 towards any mattress purchase by visiting Casper.com/buck. Terms and conditions apply. This is an incredible mattress at a fantastic price. You can get it now via this deal. Check it out.